and we can coordinate the efforts on enforcement.
Mr. Ambassador, with the growth in animal ag that we've seen in the past recent years and the changes in their government, do you see the Chinese wanting to become more dependent on just the production that they do and less dependent on having foreign imports?
I don't see that they can possibly, with the large population they have and the limited amount of agricultural land, that they can ever be self-sufficient. I think they're going to have to continue to rely on imports of things like soybeans and other products as well. So I don't think that's a real danger. I'm just hopeful that we can overcome the present challenges we're faced and some of the long-term barriers so that this ag market, which has been a growing market for American farmers for the last several decades, can get back into a growth mold. And I'm sure that the potential here is much greater than it's been in the past, just because of the growing middle class and the demand for more protein.
So give us that bright side then. What is the potential upside? Where are there potential big growths for U.S. ag in China if things start to turn around?
Well, reopening it for chickens and eggs, that's another area. Another one is with rice. Obviously, we've got it reopened for beef, but not as extensive as it needs to be. Pork, they are the largest consumer of pork, and also obviously soybeans and other feedstock, sorghum, to go in to feed their livestock. These are all areas that have a lot of potential. I think over the next 5 years, you could see a doubling of agriculture exports to China. We get this resolved, the potential here is great. Nearly 1.4 billion people, a growing middle class with their income going up an average of 6.75% a year. This is a significant market.
Yeah. You mentioned, and this may be way out in left field to some extent, but mm-hmm. North Korea. But we also know that we have China, the United States, and Russia that wants to be. Is Russia at all playing into this from maybe offering the Chinese another market for some of their products?
Well, Russia's got a lot of problems of their own. They got a huge problem with corruption, and their economy is not nearly as big or as strong as China. But certainly they are trying to build, and there is a certain amount of animosity between the Russians and the Chinese. They fought in the past. But right now their relations have improved in the last couple of years. So we'll have to see where that goes. But I think it's got more to do with maybe their ability to sell energy to the Chinese than agricultural products.
Mr. Ambassador, yeah. with a couple of these companies that we've seen in recent years, Smithfield, Syngenta, and ChinaChina, things of that nature, kind of combining forces with international powers with Chinese companies, should we expect to see any more of that, do you think, in the coming years, given the current trade environment, but also given China's economic goals, maybe trying to acquire these technologies via acquiring the companies rather than the research?
Well, we want to encourage international investments in the United States. We just had the Select USA conference that I went back to in D.C., but we also want to protect our own technology, and you've got this CFIUS law that's going to be strengthened. Senator Cornyn, I met with him when I was back in D.C. Senator Cornyn from Texas is the lead sponsor on that. He's been working with both Republicans and Democrats, and I expect in some of these key areas that are important to our future, such as artificial intelligence and technology related to national defense, you're going to see stronger CFIUS law that's designed to protect America's interest. And some of the items that are in the 301 report specifically focus on some of these new technologies of the future. And I also stopped in the Silicon Valley in California on my trip back to the States and visited with some of those companies as well. And obviously they're, especially the smaller ones, are really concerned about how difficult it is to do business here and the threat to their intellectual property. Now, bigger companies like Cisco have had some success actually fighting to protect the interests of their intellectual property, but it's so expensive that smaller companies can't afford it.
Mr. Ambassador, yeah. I recommend one more question and then stopping for the photo.
Okay, one more.
What's given you the most joy in this new role? What have you liked the most about it?
Well, just as Iowa was a great host to Xi Jinping and his ag delegation that came in 1985, the Chinese have been very good to me. I got a chance, my wife and I, our daughter who's teaching at the International School of Beijing and son-in-law is also an assistant teacher there, and our two granddaughters were going to school there. We had dinner with President Xi and his wife and 25-year-old daughter. I don't think an American ambassador has in modern history had that kind of an opportunity. I think I've met with him five times, and I've had, because people in China know the relationship that I have and the fact that we treated him so well when he came, and that was his longest trip to America, by the way, was to Iowa in 1985. I think it's his longest foreign trip ever. And they tell me as the leader of China, he only can leave the country for like 5 days or so, but he was there for more than 2 weeks during spring corn planting. So that relationship has been, I think, really helpful to me and I think to our country as we try to get the opportunity to meet with the key Chinese leaders. And obviously, I'm hopeful a lot more can be accomplished in the future. But the other thing that I've enjoyed is I went to every county in Iowa every year I was governor. I want to go to every province in China while I am the ambassador. I'm not getting it done in the first year, but I'm about halfway there. And it's a big, diverse country, and so it's a great opportunity, and I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of wonderful people as I've traveled around. And I think the more we can build personal relationships through things like sister cities and sister states, and these trade missions, the more likely we are to overcome the challenges that we face in terms of trade and other issues. So personal relationships, I think, go a long ways. And the Chinese, if you had a long-standing personal relationship, they call you an old friend. So I'm honored to be called an old friend of President Xi Jinping. And that usually leads to a more trust and understanding and a better opportunity to try to work things out.